Unit 20, The World of Work. Page 138. 3. While you read, we can work it out. Getting a good job in Britain today is far from easy. More and more young people are going to university, so a degree has become the minimum qualification required. Whereas once, it was a magical door-opening piece of paper. If your CV does catch a potential employer's eye, and you're lucky enough to get called in for an interview, you then encounter the next hurdle. You find yourself in a catch-22 situation, where you can't get a job unless you've got work experience, and, of course, there's no way you get any work experience until someone feels like giving you a job. If and when you do finally manage to land a job, you then realize that your troubles have only just begun. The last 20 years have seen radical changes in employment laws, very few of which have benefited young workers in any way. Full-time contracts seem to have become a thing of the past, and instead you'll probably be offered a short-term casual contract, even if they're talking about employing you full-time. I've heard of people who've worked full-time for 6 or 7 years and who are still being paid by the hour. One good thing that has changed recently, though, is that at least you're now entitled to the national minimum wage. Living on less than £5 an hour isn't easy, but at least you can't be totally ripped off by your bosses anymore. Because of all these changes, there's not much job security anymore. Companies have learned how to dress up mass redundancies in media-friendly language, calling huge job cuts downsizing or corporate restructuring. If you do end up out of work, don't expect your union to be much help. The power of trade unions was cut dramatically in the 1980s, after the endless industrial action of the 70s. And today they've become a little bit toothless. However, as a recent landmark legal case has shown, it's not all doom and gloom, and there is still hope for the workers. Last month, two casual workers, who were never offered proper contracts of employment, won the right to the same benefits as full-time workers. A judge said that because Mrs. Carmichael, 35, and Mrs. Lees, 36, had signed letters accepting jobs at Blyth Power Station, they should have been treated the same as any other full-time employee of National Power. However, the two women had been denied holiday and sick pay and many other benefits normally given to full-time staff. Despite taking income tax from their pay, making the women wear company uniforms, and giving them the use of company cars, National Power tried to insist that Mrs. Carmichael and Mrs. Lees never worked directly for the company. They were, therefore, refused a proper contract and were not given any employment protection or benefits. The judge's decision means that casual workers all over the country can now fight for the right to sick pay, holiday pay, maternity leave, and other benefits. The judgment also means that casual workers can appeal against unfair dismissal by their employer if they are sacked without reason. A solicitor acting on behalf of the two women said it was a major breakthrough in employment law, which was likely to have a very positive effect on the working lives of thousands of men and women employed on a casual basis. Unit 20, page 140. 2. While you listen. Listen to three people talking about their jobs. As you listen, try to decide what their job is.
1.
So what exactly does your job involve, then?
Well, basically, I prepare all the prescriptions and keep a check on all the drugs we have in stock. I also give advice to people who come in with minor problems. You know the sort of thing, what cream to use for a rash, what to take for an upset tummy, that sort of thing. Sometimes I'm just like a shop assistant, selling things over the counter. Other times, I feel like I'm a doctor.
Two.
So how long have you been doing this, then?
All my life, since I left school. I worked with my father, and now I've got my son working with me. I really enjoy working with wood. I love taking a piece of wood and turning it into something useful. I learnt everything I know from watching my father and the older men at work. Now it's great passing on my skills to younger guys.
Three.
So do you enjoy doing what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody's got to do it, haven't they? Just think, if nobody did it, what would the place be like? I mean, when I was a boy, if you dropped something, the police would be after you. But these days, people don't care. They just drop everything. Coke cans, cigarette packets, newspapers, everything. You name it, I've picked it up. Mind you, I found the odd £20 note. I'd never work indoors. I just couldn't stand it.
Unit 20, page 142. 3. Boss jokes. Listen to the jokes. Mark the stresses and pauses.
1.
He's really flexible. He lets me come in any time I want before 9. And then lets me leave whenever I want after 5.
2.
He's so mean that if you're 3 minutes late for work, he fines you. And if you turn up 5 minutes early, he actually starts charging you rent.
3.
He's really hard on latecomers. Actually, one day one of his assistants turned up over an hour late, covered in blood. And as he staggered over to his desk, my boss went up to him and asked him where he'd been. The assistant apologized and said he'd fallen down 3 flights of stairs. "What?" said my boss. "That took you a whole hour, did it?"